Well, again, let's turn to, in our Bibles, to the Gospel of Luke. And we are still in the first chapter. We'll get to the verse that we're in just a moment. But as we read last week, we saw Mary receive this very unusual guest. She had a visitor that came and appeared to her. His name is Gabriel, an angel. Doesn't happen very often that an angel comes and visits you, but she had this angel come to her. And he had a very specific message. And that's what angels do. When they come, they have a message. They have something to tell us. And he tells Mary, hey, you're going to bear the Messiah. You're going to become pregnant. You are going to deliver the Messiah. You're going to bring him into the world. And Mary has this most amazing response. She says, I'm the Lord's slave. Whatever. Whatever he wants to do, let it happen. May the word happen as you have said it. May it take place in the way that you have said. In this response, she truly gives up all of her hopes and dreams. In the way that this rolls out, in the way that plays out, she was giving up everything every little girl hopes for. You see, faith really is submitting our hopes and our dreams so that God's will, God's word, will be accomplished in our lives, in the people around us, in their lives. And guys, it happens even when we don't have all the details. Mary didn't know exactly how this was going to play out. She didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but she said, you know what? I'm submitting myself to the will of the Lord. I'm submitting myself so that His word can be fulfilled. Let it happen. Let it happen the way you say it. And that's the way faith works. Believing that God exists, knowing that He's up there somewhere, and then remaining on the sideline, just sitting there, waiting for Him to do something, waiting for Him to write in the sky what we are to do next. Have you ever had that? You ever been in that situation? You're facing a decision and you go, you know, I wish He would just write something in the sky so that I could know for sure. I think we've all been in a situation like that. As faith is knowing what God's Word says and then moving, even when it's not written in the sky. What if this happens? What if that happens? We begin to ask ourselves that question. You know, what happens if this takes place? And what happens if that? And what happens if I can't pay the bills? And what happened? And you know, I think God sometimes just says, oy vey, I'll look for somebody else. You know, because we have so many questions, so many wonderings. We just need to step out. We just need to walk. You know, living by faith is not the same thing as living by the faith. Did you hear that? Living by faith is not the same thing as living by the faith. Now, I see some questioning expressions, so let me explain what I'm talking about here. There are a lot of people today who live by the faith. And what I mean by that is that they have devised and developed a systematic theology, and we should do that. But they have devised this system of Christian living, Christian principles, Christian ideals, and they live their life accordingly. And that's a good thing to do. I mean, we should do that. But guys, that is not living by faith. Living by faith is not living our lives according to a set of rules. Although we should do that. It's good to do that. But living by faith is living according to a relationship, an ongoing, living, breathing, vital relationship that you have with the God of the universe. It's listening to Him. It's knowing that He is going to be there. It's knowing that He is going to care for you and watch over you and lead you. Living by faith, guys, has to do with trusting in a person who is real and who exists, who is the creator of everything that we see around us. We are called to live by faith. We should develop a systematic theology, and we should live according to principles that we find in Scripture. But guys, if that's all that we have, if it's only just rules, then we have nothing. We have nothing. Mary was a person who lived by faith. She listened to the word of God and she said, "Let it be. Let it be according to your word." Even though I don't know the details, even though I don't know exactly what's going to happen to me as a result of this, let it be. Let it so happen. And what she did is she got up and left. Look at verse 39. That's where we start our study this morning. It says, "In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth." Now, what Mary does here really is significant. It's worth pointing out. We think, okay, easy thing to do. You know, you pack a bag, you jump in your Volkswagen Golf, and you hop on the Autobahn, and you head down the road, and you go visit your aunt. No big deal, right? Not exactly. This is a 100-mile journey, 100 miles on foot. Remember, she's 15 years old. It's a young girl. The roads in that day were filled with thieves and robbers and rebels, people who were fighting against the Romans. She went from Nazareth to probably Hebron. We don't know for sure. That was one of the priestly cities, and that may have been where Zechariah lived. Interesting that her parents let her go at 15 years old. Parents, let me talk to you for a minute. One of the challenges, I think, for every parent is learning how to let go. Learning how to let go of that child that God has given you. The one that you brought into this earth, the one that you have nurtured and fed and watched over and cared for. But as they get into their teen years, guys, God is going to begin to speak to them, I hope. And God is going to begin to lead them in directions that may scare you, that may be a little frightening. If your child came to you and said in their teenage years, "You know, I really believe the Lord is calling me to go on a short-term mission to Africa." It's happened recently. The mom freaked. "What? You're not going to Africa? There are crazy people down there. There are diseases down there. There's all, you know." And as parents, we can react that way because we still want to go into that protective mode of watching over that child. As a parent, will you let God lead in that kid's life, in that teenager's life? Are you going to let him move? Are you going to let him speak? It's not easy. It's tough. But guys, that needs to happen. That needs to happen. Mary's parents, they let her go, it appears. We don't get any details about how that worked, about how she presented the question to her mom and dad, but it says that she got up and she left. And as a very godly, obedient young woman, I can only imagine that she had that discussion with her parents. She didn't just bolt. She said, "Mom and dad, I got to go." And they let her go. I think it's a harder thing for moms than it is for dads. Now, it's tough for moms to let go. Peggy's dad had a standard speech for all of her siblings when they got to be 16. He said, "By the time you're 18, if you're still living here, you're paying rent. So you better get a job. You better, you know, dads can be that way. You know, get out of here, get a job, go out into the world." But moms, it's a little bit tougher sometimes. We need to learn how to slowly let go. Bit by bit, slowly letting go. And that happens almost from the time they're in diapers, learning how to let go. Well, verse 41, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So when Mary greets Elizabeth, she goes to her house, she says, hey Liz, how's it going? John, inside Elizabeth, hears Mary's voice, and he begins to do somersaults. Ladies, you know what that's like, when that baby begins to move inside of you. And it says that Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now, I assume that John is also filled with the Holy Spirit at this point, because we're told earlier that he would be filled from the time he was in his mother's womb. And so you have this fascinating combination here of a mother and a child, the child still in her, both filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing thing, both of them having it going on with God at this time. And then she exclaimed with a loud cry. She goes a little Pentecostal here. You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. Mary was blessed because of the child that was in her. We are also blessed because we have him in us as well. We have the Messiah in us. We have Christ in us. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you carry the Messiah? For those of you who know Christ, those of you who have invited him into your life, do you know that you carry him with you into the world? You do. And you're blessed because of that. Verse 43 says, how could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? I think Mary is probably a little bit relieved at this point to know that Elizabeth already knows what's going on. I mean, think about it from Mary's standpoint. She's 15. She's just been told by an angel that she's going to have a baby, even though she hasn't known a man. She goes to visit this older relative, this older woman, and she's thinking, how am I going to explain this? The angel talked to me. God said, yeah, right, sure. You know, all of these things have to be going on in her mind. How am I going to make this clear to this woman, my relative, Elizabeth? How am I going to let her know? But Elizabeth already knows. So Mary's got to be a little bit relieved at this point. Thank you, Lord. A little Holy Spirit, a little prophecy. This is a good thing. I don't have to go through the explanation of how all of this took place. And isn't it great when the Lord just works things out? You know, when we have issues, when we have struggles and problems, and we're concerned, and we get to that point, only to find that the door is open, the way is smooth, it's phenomenal. Verse 44, it says, For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. And notice that she says, the baby. She doesn't say the fetus. She says that the child leaped for joy. God's testimony here, listen guys, God's testimony is that a child in the womb experiences joy. A child in the womb, an unborn child experiences joy and can hear things. Doctors tell us today that it's 16 weeks. 16 weeks inside the mother's womb, a child can hear. It responds to auditory things going on around it. I started to talk to my daughter at 16 weeks when she was still in the womb. I said, I'm your dad. I want you to recognize the sound of my voice. You need to get used to it. You're going to hear it a lot. Just want you to know, from the beginning, I'm in charge. You're not going to get the car keys when you're 16 years old. You're not going to, you know, I don't care what your friends' parents are letting them do. You're going to do what I say. I'm the one that's in charge here. You need to have that talk with your kids, even at 16 weeks. This baby heard, and it leapt for joy inside her womb. Gabriel revealed to Zechariah that John would go before the Messiah. that he would be the one to lead the way for the Messiah. Elizabeth calls Jesus her Lord. Later, Mary is going to refer to him as her Savior. Guys, there is no doubt in my mind that both of these women and Zechariah knew that this was the Messiah. Of course, I think about Zach and what it was like to have two pregnant women in the house at the same time, and I think, boy, better him than me. I think it was a good thing, probably, that he couldn't speak, because he would have put his foot in his mouth for sure. You know, it's just an easy thing to do. She who has believed is blessed, because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. Elizabeth says, Mary, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed because the word of God is going to be fulfilled in you. Guys, our greatest blessing in life is watching and seeing the word of God fulfilled in the lives of people around us. Blessings are not so much about material things. We talk a lot about the blessings that God gives us, and certainly he does give us material blessings, and they are good things. But she says here that Mary is blessed. What's going to come next for her is that she's going to deliver this child in a stable with animal droppings and straw and flies and all of that. And yet it says that she's blessed. Despite all of those external things, she is blessed because God's word is being fulfilled in her. Guys, there is a cost to follow Jesus. Mary did not shy away from that cost. And there's a cost for all of us. The cost, part of the cost that Mary would bear would be the shame, really, of having this child out of wedlock. I mean, that's the way the people in her village saw this. In John chapter 8, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus and they began to question him. And one of the comments that they make there is that they say to him, yeah, but we know who our father is. Like Jesus didn't know who his father was. See, they'd gone back to Nazareth and they'd done a little investigating and they'd found out that Mary actually had become pregnant before she was married to Joseph. And so they said to Jesus, yeah, you say you're somebody, you say you're something special, but you don't even know who your father is. That whole issue followed them all of their life, all of Mary's life. There's a cost, guys, when we follow Christ. Next, we're going to see Mary, what is called the Magnificat. I wish there was more time to get into this, but we're running low on time today. But I want to give you just the Reader's Digest version of this. Mary here is a 15-year-old girl. Now make note of this. She's going to, in this what is called the Magnificat, 10 verses here, she quotes 23 different passages from the Old Testament. This girl knows God's word. 8 times she's going to say, he has done this, speaking of Christ. He has done this. He has done this. Everything she says is all about what Christ is doing, about what God is doing. And that's what we ought to be about. We ought to be about what he is doing. We need to be focused on what he is doing in our life and what he is doing around us. It's so easy to get caught up in a Christian kind of culture and doing the things that Christians do. And again, I have a systematic theology. I have a belief system that is based on Scripture. I believe that it's based on all of Scripture, not just pet verses that I get to pick out and abuse as I choose. But guys, bottom line, it's all about Him. It is all about Jesus. I have an objective faith, and it's based on a knowable truth. But guys, if we don't have a subjective, personal, vibrant relationship with a risen Savior, you've got nothing. He's alive. He is alive, and He speaks to us. He walks with us. He nurtures us. He protects us. He guides us. He's there. Verse 46 says this, "And Mary said, 'My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" She speaks here about her spirit and about her soul. She has given her body to the Lord. There is the imagery here of a Trinity. You know, we know of God as a Trinity. In many ways, we are a Trinity too, body, soul, and spirit. She calls Him her Savior. She knew that she needed a Savior. She knew that she was not sinless. She was a sinner, and she needed a Savior. Because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His slave. In chapter 2, verse 24, which we will get to someday, it talks about the sacrifice that Joseph and Mary made when they went to the temple. And the sacrifice that they brought was two turtle doves. Now we can read through that and kind of pass over it and not think much about it. But here's the thing. In the Old Testament, the requirement was for a lamb to be brought as a sacrifice when you had your first male child. A lamb was the requirement. But there was a caveat. And the caveat was that if you were poor and you could not afford it, you could bring two turtle doves. And that's what Joseph and Mary bring. They bring two turtle doves because they were poor. They were impoverished. She says, in spite of our condition, our humble condition, God has worked through us. "Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy." Again, He has done these things. She points to Him. He is holy. He is doing these things. "And His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him." His mercy is on all who, notice, fear Him. His mercy is not on all people. His mercy is on those who fear and submit themselves to Him. We are by nature sinners, and our sin separates us from God. And when we act in rebellion, when we act with a mindset that says, you know what, I'm okay. I really don't need this God stuff. I'm not that bad a person. When we don't recognize our sin, when our sin doesn't drive us to a point of fearfully approaching God and His holiness, then we will miss it. We miss the mercy. We miss the grace that God has for all people. "And He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." He is the one who sets up kings. He is the one who puts down another. He sets up governments. He takes them down when He sees fit. And there's a lot of that going on in the world today. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He still moves in governments and in people's lives. "He has helped His servant, Israel, mindful of His mercy, just as He spoke to our ancestors, Abraham and his seed forever." Mary is just overjoyed here because she sees God's moving in her life. The word is being fulfilled through her. She is part of this fulfillment. Guys, the same is true for you and me. We can be part of the fulfillment of God's word as we speak truth into the lives of the people around us. We can see his word, this seed, begin to take root. It will take root and grow. We can be filled with the same kind of joy. And Mary stayed with her, meaning Elizabeth, for 3 months, and then she returned to her home. Now, I imagine that Mary probably stayed there until John was born. I mean, it would be difficult to stay with a woman like this in her 80s, having her first child, and leave 2 days before the child was born. I mean, you can just imagine that she probably stayed there until the time of the birth. Just wanted to be there to help, I'm sure. And I'm also sure that God was gracious to this 80-year-old woman giving birth for the first time. That had to have been something. But I also know that Mary would not have traded 1 minute of the shame that she endured all of her life. She wouldn't have traded that for 1 minute of the time that she got to spend with her Lord. To know that she was the one that brought him in, that she was the one who nursed him, that she was the one who nourished him, that she was the one that looked into his eyes. And guys, we have that same joy, that same opportunity for joy to look into the eyes of Christ each and every day. As we look into his word, as we spend time with him, he is looking at us. He is real and he is there, waiting and wanting to share our lives with him. We need to remember this. We need to remember that we have Christ in us. We are bearing Christ just as Mary bore Christ. We bear him to a lost world around us. We too have Christ in us. We are blessed because we get to bear this Savior. What an awesome thing. What an awesome responsibility. He promises that he will never leave us. He makes a promise. He's never going to leave us, and he will be with us until the very end. And what he expects from us is that we will let his word be done in us. Let his word be done in us. We should know his word. We should be able to speak 10 verses and quote 23 different passages in Scripture, just like Mary did. We need to know his word. We need to have it planted in us. We need to pray. We need to pray, Lord, let your word be done in me. Lord, you're my king. That's our prayer. That needs to be our prayer. Lord, you're my king today. Live in me. Reign in me. We should pray that prayer today. I'm going to have Hannah come up and close us with a final song. But let that prayer be our prayer today. That the Lord would reign in us. That his word would be done in us. And that we would be able to bear him to the world around us. That the world around us would be affected by the testimony that we bring of Christ to them. I want you to read ahead. Read ahead. Next week we're going to see the birth of Johnny B., Johnny the Baptist, Johnny B. Good, something, I don't know. We're going to see his birth and see what happens at the beginning of his life. It's a fantastic story. Read ahead and come prepared next week to see what the Lord is going to do. Lord, we thank you so much for the time today in your word and for the things that you're showing us, the things that you are revealing to us. Father, we truly do need to hear from you in a fresh way. Father, let us bear Christ. Let us bear Christ to the world around us. Father, that's my prayer. It's my prayer for myself and for everyone here. That you would grant us your grace. Lord, show us. Let us bear Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.